Members and guests, please rise for the invocation by Representative Nickel and remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance.
My beautiful grandma, Patricia Magnuson, is 96 years old today. Happy birthday, Grandma. This is a woman who recently started learning Hebrew and is Montana's grandma. And she brings you this message and prayer on her special day, and I quote, "Keep up the great work. I'm watching you, and I have my eyes on you." Here is her favorite blessing for you all. Maybe. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag
of the United States of America
and to the republic for which it stands,
one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The clerk will take the roll.
Mr. Speaker, 100 members are present.
A quorum is present and the House is ready for business. Majority Leader Vinton.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, our body has finally been made whole. I would like you all to meet the new representative from House District 50, Nara Hastings.
Welcome, Representative. Speaker Pro Tem Knutson.
Now I'm on. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, in the gallery today, excuse me, not in the gallery, in the house today, if you go to the second floor, you will see a project that has been going on for a couple of years. It is the Judy Martz statue project. The sculptor, the chosen sculptor for that project, is downstairs, and he would love to show you his progress on the work. The statue will be put in the Capitol when it's completed. The sculptor's name is Mr. Curtis, Gareth Curtis. And he is also the sculptor of one of the statues that you see on the third floor. So if you want to go down there and visit with him, he'd love to show you his progress. He will be back in April to show you more of his work. So, ladies and gentlemen, I would encourage you to go see that piece of work that will be added to our Capitol complex. Thank you.
Representative Marler.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. May I be off the record and out of the journal for an announcement.
It's ordered.
An invitation. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Everyone, thank you for your interest in the Legislative Sportspersons Caucus, Sportsmen's Caucus. And tomorrow at noon in room 172, everyone's invited to, everyone who's interested is invited for lunch to learn more about the Sportsmen's Caucus. And you can see me if you're still looking for a sign-up sheet or the representative from Thompson Falls.
Representative Casey Knutson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I request to be off the record now of the journal for the purpose of an introduction.
So ordered.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, I have the great honor today to introduce a member who's an ex-member, served four terms in this body. He's here in the building today for a Judicial Standards Commission hearing. Everybody, Seth Burgley.
Welcome back to the House. Representative Lear.
Yes, Mr. Speaker, I'd like to be off the record and out of the journal for the purpose of an introduction.
So ordered.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker and members of the body. Today I have the pleasure of introducing my mother, Denise Lear, and her coworker, Pam Pettigrew. They're down here for the teacher stuff today. And between these two ladies, they have almost 80 years of educational experience.
Welcome to the House. Representative Hawk.
Mr. Speaker, I request to be off the record and out of the journal for the purposes of an introduction.
So ordered.
But members of the body, I would like you to help me welcome former Representative Sarah Novak up in the gallery hiding.
Welcome back to the House. Seeing no further introductions, order business number one, communications and petitions.
None, Mr. Speaker.
Order business number two, reports of standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, we, your Committee on Business and Labor, recommend that House Bills 115, 254 do pass, 156 do pass as amended, Senate Bills 35 and 80 be concurred in. Signed, Representative Ed Buttrey, Chair. Mr. Speaker, we, your Committee on Human Services, recommend that Senate Bills 45 be concurred in and 34 be concurred in as amended. Signed, Representative Jennifer Carlson, Chair. Mr. Speaker, we, your Committee on Local Government, recommend that House Bills 215 do pass, 211 do pass as amended. Signed, Representative Larry Brewster, Chair. Mr. Speaker, we, your Committee on State Administration, recommend that House Bills 180 do pass, 210 do pass as amended. Signed, Representative Julie Dooling, Chair. Mr. Speaker, we, your Committee on Taxation, recommend that House Bill 223 do pass as amended. Signed, Representative Paul Fielder, Chair. That is all, Mr. Speaker.
Order business number three, reports of select committees.
None, Mr. Speaker.
Order business number four, messages from the Senate.
Mr. Speaker, I'm directed by the Senate to inform the House of Representatives of following actions. The following Senate bills, Senate joint resolutions, were on this day read through several times in past title and history agreed to and are herewith transmitted to the House for concurrence. Senate Joint Resolution 8, Ellsworth. Sincerely, Marilyn Miller, Secretary of the Senate. That is all, Mr. Speaker.
Order business number five, messages from the Governor.
None, Mr. Speaker.
Order business number six, first reading and commitment of bills.
Mr. Speaker, House Bills 314 through 320 are introduced, read first time, and referred to committee. All are posted. Mr. Speaker, Senate Joint Resolution 8 has been read first time and referred to committee. All are posted. That is all, Mr. Speaker.
Order business number 7, second reading of bills. Majority Leader Vinton.
Mr. Speaker, I move that the House resolve itself into a committee of the whole for consideration of business on second reading.
All those in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. And I appoint Representative Green as chair of the committee of the whole for the day.
Members of the committee will please be in order. Sorry, I don't have my readers on. Members of the committee, you have before you for your consideration House Bill number 37. The clerk will read the title of the bill.
Mr. Chair, House Bill number 37, introduced by Carlson, a bill for an act entitled An Act Generally Revising Child Abuse and Neglect Laws, requiring a warrant to remove a child from a child's home except in exigent circumstances, revising definitions of child abuse or neglect and reasonable efforts, revising the time frame in which an abuse and neglect petition must be filed when a child is removed, revising the time frame in which an emergency protective service hearing must be held, revising the requirements for dismissing an abuse and neglect petition, amending sections providing effective dates and a termination date. Mr. Chair.
What is your pleasure, Representative Carlson?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move that when the committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 37, that they recommend the same do pass.
Representative Carlson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the body. The bill in front of you today, House Bill 37, is at the request of the Interim Child and Family Health and Human Services Committee. This bill is not just the result of the year and a half of work of that committee, but several years of work by other members of this body. And also, as you may have noticed in the current events recently, also this movement is going on around the country, which is a movement to improve the child welfare system. We know that removing children from their home is a traumatic experience. We know that children involved in the foster care system have worse outcomes in education, mental health, judicial involvement, and we want to do the best thing for children and families. one of the best things we can do for children is to have them stay in their home when it is safe for them to do so. And so we keep all of those things in mind when we work on child welfare. There are a lot of moving parts in this bill. Probably the one you've heard the most about is that this bill will require a warrant for the removal of a child from their family unless there is an emergency situation where there is a fear and probable cause that the child will be abused in the time it takes to get a warrant. Many of us have heard in a lot of our different committees that and work that we're doing, the warrant process has been streamlined significantly. And so this is these things work together to protect children. If it is not an emergency, then we figure out in a measured way. And if it's an emergency, we protect the child first and then think about it. So I don't want you to think of the warrant as a way that we are making children less safe. It is a matter of due process. To remove a child, you need a warrant. Several circuit courts in the United States agreed with this, including our own Ninth Circuit Court. Non-emergency removals will have the benefit of judicial review before the removal of the person. The second change in the bill, if you're going through the pages, what I'm not going to do that. You can do that, but there is an additional line added to the code that the department's procedures and policies must comply with constitutional requirements. I recently read an article in a national publication that said, I'm not sure what's going on here. In Child Protective Services, I'm just going to try, that your constitutional rights do not apply. And that shouldn't be okay with anyone in this room. Your constitutional rights apply. This is America, and children have constitutional rights too. So in keeping with increasing the due process and treating these cases like the emergencies that they are, county attorneys and the parents must receive the affidavit of removal quickly so that all parties have the needed information to go forward. The public defenders need to know what's going on so that attorneys can be present for the people in the case. That is included in this bill.
1 minute.
Another thing this bill does is it makes incremental change to speed up the process which emergency protective services are taking place. This bill was amended in committee to make this process take place in several years. We will start with the 5-day hearings, which is currently the law, and move to a quicker time frame, which is 3 days in 2025, bringing Montana more in line with the national standard. As an example, the states around us have 24, 48, and 72-hour judicial review. So this is just bringing Montana up to the national standard. The bill also makes it very clear that if a judge determines that the case is that the child is safe, that the case is dismissed. And the last thing I'll mention is that the Family First Prevention Services Act is a national law, and Montana is getting on board. And there is federal money to protect children's rights with Counsel for Children, and that is also included in this bill. This bill is a big step in the right direction to protecting families and children, and I urge a due pass.
Is there discussion on the bill? Seeing there is none?
Oh, no. Oh. Look on the board.
Representative Bishop.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, I am rising in support of this bill, and I want to just sort of give you a little bit more background. I first want to thank the Interim Committee for their incredible work on getting it to our body. And then I really just want to acknowledge the sponsor and her patience as we did an incredible amount of work on this in committee. I have to say, just over my time in the legislature, I think the work that we did on this bill felt much more almost like a committee bill than just a bill that we did, you know, just some typical amendments on. So this was heavily amended in committee. And I think the amendments that we brought are the kind of amendments that strip away the things that were really going to get you caught up in your community when you go back and talk to the people that care about this topic in your community and keep us focused on the shared value here. And what we found is the unequivocal shared value is that families are best when they're kept together. And when a removal needs to happen, everyone is due that process that helps them know that this has been vetted and that they are going to know the full reason why those children were removed as soon as possible and have an opportunity to enter into the process for reunification. And so I think that this really has distilled this down to that piece and kept that at the center. And I hope that you can support it. I feel good about the work that we have done. Again, I thank the sponsor for her patience. I thank the rest of the committee. This was really bipartisan work that we're proud of. And I hope that you can support this today.
Representative Knutson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I feel I need to just explain to the body a little bit. I was the sole no vote on this coming out of committee. I'm generally, you know, using the words of a former chairman, you know, when things aren't ready for prime time, you have to amend them heavily. I have reservations a lot of times. After having time to really look into this, I've become quite a bit more comfortable with the legislation the way it is. I will be supporting it today. I just wanted to explain to the body I was the only no vote, but I will be changing that vote today.
Representative Essman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A question for the sponsor, if she'll yield.
I certainly do, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My fellow representative, I don't know if I missed it in your explanation, but there is Section 5 regarding confidentiality has been completely deleted. Although I'm for the bill, I would like to know why that section was deleted.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Representative. Yes, that didn't make it into my 5 minutes, but that entire several pages is not part of the bill. It is not removing any code. There was originally an amendment in that section, and that amendment was not universally appreciated. So what the committee did is we decided that rather than get wrapped around the axle about a minor thing, we would major on the majors. So that section of code is not being amended. It will remain as it is in current law. Mr. Chair.
There being no further discussion, does a sponsor wish to close?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, members of the body, and especially want to thank the members of the Judiciary Committee, because this, I would concur with the representative in front of me, that I really felt like we had a lot of cooperative action in that committee. It was a committee bill to begin with, so more eyes on it was a good thing, and I believe we made the bill a lot better, and I believe it's better because it's going to pass, one, and two, it does the most important things that we need, which is protecting children and families. I would be remiss if I did not point out this handout that's on your desk. Is from a report from the Legislative Audit Department that they did. It's called Kids in Care. It's extensive, and it is a legislative audit on our child welfare system, and I would encourage you, if you're interested in this topic, to take a look at it so that when we go forward making the system the best it can be for families and children, you have a baseline knowledge. It's very valuable information. Please do pass Thank you, Mr. Chair.
The question now arises on the motion of Representative Carlson that when the committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill number 37, it recommend that the same do pass. Those in favor of the motion will vote aye. Those opposed, vote no. Are there absentee votes?
None, Mr. Chair.
Has every member voted? Pause. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chair, 100 representatives have voted aye, 0 have voted no.
House Bill number 37 has passed. Second reading. Members of the committee, you have before you for consideration House Bill number 42. The clerk will read the title of the bill.
Mr. Chair, House Bill number 42, introduced by Hinkle, a bill for an act entitled An Act Allowing Qualified Fish and Wildlife and Parks Department employees to carry firearms to perform their assigned duties, providing criteria for when an employee is allowed to carry a firearm, providing rulemaking authority, amending sections, and providing an immediate effective date. Mr. Chair.
What is your pleasure, Representative Hinkle?
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 42 that it recommends the same do pass.
Representative Hinkle.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the body. House Bill 42 would allow Fish and Wildlife and Parks staff to be issued department firearms for job duties, with exception of a personal concealed firearm with a concealed carry permit. Currently, only wardens are allowed to carry firearms for the department while on duty. However, there are a number of non-law enforcement staff at Fish, Wildlife, and Parks that have a need to periodically carry and use firearms in the line of their duties for wildlife management activities. And examples of these activities include approaching grizzly bears or other animals captured in foot snares and when releasing grizzly bears from traps, dispatching injured animals, removing animals that present an immediate threat to human safety, hazing or removing animals that cause game damage, and in my personal experience of 18 years of working for not only the department but a federal agency out there in the bush by myself and some of the most thick grizzly bear country you can imagine, general safety in areas that may be unsafe, such as high populations of grizzly bears. This bill would clarify that the use of firearms for those types of purposes by non-enforcement personnel is authorized in statute. Staff will only be able to use department-issued firearms in the line of duty. Fish, Wildlife, Parks, and this bill's intent is that any staff using a firearm in the line of duty will have to be trained and certified in the use of any department-issued firearms they are issued. Fish, Wildlife, and Parks Enforcement has multiple trained and certified firearms instructors in each region who will provide high-quality firearms training for non-enforcement staff. Firearms training will ensure that employees are able to proficiently and safely use department-issued firearms, and training will be conducted annually and will be documented. With that, just point out just one little section in the bill, which is on page 2. Line 13, and just to make it abundantly clear that the staff that will be using these firearms are non-enforcement, in line 13 it says, wardens as authorized officers under 87-1-502 are the only department employees with the authority to enforce provisions of state law or administrative rule. With that, Mr. Chair, I'll stand for any questions or closing. Thank you.
Is there discussion? Representative France.
Mr. Speaker, members of the body, Mr. Chair, members of the body, I'll take it. I missed the mark on that one, and since this bill is about guns, I'll take that one. I just want to stand up and second everything the good representative from Gallatin County said. I think we can all guess that FWP employees have been taking firearms into some of these situations for years. This provides the right kind of oversight and assurance of training And I think this is an excellent bill for FWP and for Montanans that are out in the woods and interacting with our wildlife. I'd also like to say that I'm grateful that the good representative from Gallatin County survived those 18 years in some of the densest grizzly bear country in the lower 48. Thank you.
Representative Knutson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I apologize, members, standing up twice in one day. I hope everybody hasn't gone tone deaf to me yet. I am opposing this bill, and I do appreciate where the sponsor's going with this. I really do. My big problem with this piece of legislation is on page 2, lines 11 and 12, the section that says, identified, trained, and certified by the department. My question is, if we start this with fish and game, what happens when the Department of Revenue wants to start carrying firearms when they're not actually in enforcement? What about every other state agency that wants to train their own people in a way other than every other law enforcement agency in the state is trained at our law enforcement academy, when the department has the power to train and certify their own employees? You know, I'm all for carrying firearms. I think everybody knows that. When it's a government employee, then to me it's a little bit of a different story. So, again, I'm opposing this bill. I hope the rest of you do as well. Thank you very much.
Representative Gunderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Question for the sponsor.
Representative Hinkle, do you yield?
I yield.
Mr. Chair, Representative Hinkle, are you aware of any Department of Revenue people that work out in the field where there's grizzly bears?
Mr. Chair, Representative, I am not aware of that.
And one more question.
Do you continue to yield?
I yield.
And Mr. Chair, good representative, do you know of any departments that might work with people are out in the field with grizzlies?
Mr. Chair, Representative, maybe DEQ at times, perhaps, but other than that, not really. I think this is very specific to a specific need for safety. When you're working with wild animals, it's an entirely different atmosphere out there.
Thank you. Thank you, Representative. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Lear.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm going to get up in opposition to this bill, too. I know the sponsor, and I respect the sponsor by trying to put sideboards on this. As a good representative from Alta stated in lines 11 and 12, my heartburn comes from lines the end of line 18 and 19. It says, as determined by the department. There's no sideboards on it. If we're not allowing auxiliary officers to be able to carry, why should we allow FWP non-commissioned officers to carry?
There being no further discussion, does the sponsor wish to close?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would like to close. First off, the first representative from Malta that spoke in opposition kept referring it to law enforcement training. Now, why should we rely on Fish, Wildlife, and Parks training when we have other law enforcement training? This is not for law enforcement. These are staff members, they're biologists, mostly, who are out in the field by themselves or with a small group of people working on streams and rivers and mountains out there with wildlife. They're not interacting with other people. So when I worked those 18 years, it was rare. Once in a while, we would find somebody at a trailhead or walking down the trail. There might be some horse people walking by. But why would we want to send these people through the Department of Justice's law enforcement training if we don't want them to be law enforcement officers? The department already has training in place. In fact, when the wardens come back from the Department of Justice's training, they also have to go through Fish, Wildlife, and Parks training on firearms. So that is the type of training, non-law enforcement training, is what these individuals will go through. Firearm safety, how to handle firearms in the situations determined by the Department for Wildlife, like I specified in the intro, that they will be working with. So you have to, you can't put in the code every single situation that they might be carrying a firearm in. Whether it's dispatching a wounded animal or releasing an animal from the trap, I mean, we would have pages and pages in here trying to describe everything that they can do. So you have to allow the department is a professional entity that works with wildlife. We trust them in every other manner, and we need to trust them that they are allowing their employees to and issuing their employees a firearm that will be for that specific wildlife purpose. So with that, I think it's a good bill. It really is a common sense bill. It's unfortunate there's been a little bit of turf war here going on behind the scenes with the different training agencies and such, but I think we can all trust that the department's going to do right. And quite honestly, when you're like me and you're out there, I mean, I've had some close encounters with grizzly bears. I've been by myself, like I say, by myself in the most thick grizzly bear country right outside of Yellowstone Park, and I wish that I had had this when I was working. With that, I have family members who up in Alaska, this is a typical thing, even working for federal agencies, they were issued 375 H&H specifically for personal safety when they're out in a job out there in the bush. So this is not uncommon, and these individuals will not be interacting with the public. It's very rare when they interact with the public. It's completely contrary to the Department of Justice and other employees like that. So it's a common sense bill. I hope for the sake of our fish and game members that you would support this. Thank you.
The question now arises on the motion of Representative Hinkle that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill number 42, it recommends that the same do pass. Those in favor of the motion will vote aye. Those opposed, vote no. Are there any absentee votes?
None, Mr. Chair.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chair, 75 representatives have voted aye. 25 have voted no.
House Bill number 42 has passed second reading. Just as an announcement, members of the body, votes of 100 are missing the third character and will appear as a 10 today.
Okay, now we got
first
that.
One this year. Uh-huh. Members of the committee, you have before you for your consideration House Bill 100. The clerk will read the title of the bill.
Mr. Chair, House Bill number 100, introduced by Fitzgerald, a bill for an act entitled An Act Revising Laws Related to Livestock Inspections, requiring livestock owners to contain livestock for all inspections, requiring livestock owners to remain present and assist providing a fine for violations, and providing an immediate effective date. Mr. Chair.
What is your pleasure, Representative Fitzgerald?
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 100, that it recommend the same do pass. Mr. Chair.
Representative Fitzgerald.
This basically is a matter of liability and safety issues here. At times we have disease breakouts in certain areas of the state on livestock, be it tuberculosis, brucellosis, or others. The department has clear authority to require the livestock be tested in order to prevent any disease spread that threaten the animal health or trade, and in where there is reasonable suspicion through surveillance and reporting and testing that there is a threat to livestock health, human health, or commerce may be present. This often requires quarantine and testing of numerous herds in the general area of the infection that contributed animals to infected herds or received animals from infected herds. Again, this is a safety issue as well as a liability issue so that we don't have outbreaks of massive disease problems with livestock. But, however, currently livestock owners have no legal obligation to present animals for testing, which means that limited state resources may be needed to round up animals from one or multiple pastures. Currently, there's no language in the law that requires containment in the cooperative effort to subdue and identify disease outbreaks. The bill does basically one thing, and I hate to use the word required, but it's in the matter of disease prevention and spread. In this bill, the owners would be required to have animals appropriately corralled for testing to ensure that crews of the 2 to 3 individuals from the Department of Livestock are able to complete regulatory tasks in a timely manner. On the hand, the department can and will provide a chute, alley, and panels as needed to complete the testing. And again, this testing is at the state's expense to prevent spread. They will also have the labor for the testing. They need to ensure that the owners gather and present the animals for testing in a manner that is effective, efficient, and safe as possible so as not to cause damage to commerce and Montana's reputation in the livestock industry nationally. Mr. Chair, I recommend a green light on this. I stand for questions.
Is there a discussion? There be no discussion? Does a sponsor... Oh, there is one. Representative Gist.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. A question for the sponsor.
Does the sponsor yield?
I do, Mr. Chair.
Good representative, just a quick question here. So if there's suspected disease and they're rounded up, does the owner incur the expense if there is no disease found?
Mr. Chair, good representative from Cascade County, as my understanding, they don't charge for the testing. They just need the help to do it in a safe and prudent manner. Mr. Chair.
All right. Thank you.
Further discussion? There being no further discussion, does the sponsor wish to close? The question now arises on the motion of Representative Fitzgerald that when the committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 100, it recommend that the same do pass. Those in favor of the motion will vote aye. Those opposed, vote no. Are there any absentee votes?
None, Mr. Chair.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chair, 89 representatives have voted aye, 11 have voted no.
Members of the committee, you have before you for your consideration House Bill 107. The clerk will read the title of the bill.
Mr. Chair, House Bill number 104, introduced by Beard, a bill for an act entitled An Act Revising Laws Regarding Aerial Hunting of Predatory Animals, removing the residency requirement for aerial hunting and repealing section. Mr. Chair.
What is your pleasure, Representative Lear?
Mr. Chair, I recommend that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 104, it recommend the same do pass.
Representative Lear.
Mr. Chair, this is a red tape reduction bill coming out of the Department of Livestock. The repealing side of this bill takes away the requirements that you have to be on a border county to hire an out-of-state aerial hunter for predators. Section 1 was amended out of the bill in committee because it went against FAA requirements. So there is a little bit of confusion. That piece of code is staying in current code. So I'll stand for questions. Vote green.
Is there a discussion? Representative Fielder.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Question for the sponsor.
Do you yield?
I yield.
Mr. Chair, sponsor, would you please, for the sake of the body here, define predators? Because there's a lot of animals that are predatory in nature but are not defined as predator in code.
Thank you. We've got to figure out where the good representative is from, Thompson Falls, for the question. So this bill deals with coyotes. Fox are the main two predators that you hunt out of. You're not hunting lions, bobcats, or wolves out of an airplane.
Mr. Chair, sponsor, thank you for that clarification.
Representative Sullivan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Question for the sponsor.
He'll yield. You yield?
I yield.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My question, I apologize. Can you clarify again that the Section 1 that is being crossed out is staying in code? And can you clarify that one more time for me? Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, Section 1 was in the original bill, was also repealed out of code. But we found out through after running the bill that we would be out of line with FAA compliance. And so in the Agriculture Committee, they adopted an amendment to put that code back in there. That's why them lines are struck out.
There being no further discussion, does the sponsor wish to close? The question now arises on the motion of Representative Lears that when the committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 104, it recommend that the same do pass. Those in favor of the motion will vote aye. Those opposed, vote no. Are there absentee votes?
None, Mr. Chair.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chair, 81 representatives have voted aye, 18 have voted no.
House Bill number 104 has passed second reading. Members of the committee, you have before you for your consideration House Bill 107. The clerk will read the title of the bill.
Mr. Chair, House Bill number 107, introduced by Barker, a bill for an act entitled An Act Revising Laws Related to Emergency Preparedness Response, aligning the responsibilities of the State Emergency Response Commission with federal law, assigning certain responsibilities to the Division of Disaster and Emergency Services of the Department of Military Affairs, revising the funding priorities of the State Emergency Response Commission, revising the requirements of the State Disaster and Emergency Plan, amending references to hazardous material incident response teams, revising definitions, extending rulemaking authority, and amending sections. Mr. Chair.
What is your pleasure, Representative Barker?
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 107, that it recommend the same do pass.
Representative Barker.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, this bill does three things for the State Emergency Response Commission. Number one, it lowers the number of commission members from 29 to 8. This is part of the red tape reduction initiative. The second thing that it does is it spells out in the code exactly what the requirements are for emergency planning. And the third thing it does is refocus the commission on responding to hazardous material incident response. I'll stand for questions. I urge due pass.
Is there a discussion? There being no discussion, does the sponsor wish to close? The question now arises on the motion of Representative Barker that when the committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 107, it recommend that the same do pass. Those in favor of the motion will vote aye. Those opposed, no. Are there absentee votes?
None, Mr. Chair.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chair, 99 representatives have voted aye, 1 has voted no.
House Bill 107 has passed second reading. Members of the committee, you have before you for your consideration House Bill 112. The clerk will read the title of the bill. What is your...
Mr. Chair, House Bill number 112, introduced by Etchart, a bill for an act entitled An Act Generally Revising Human Trafficking and Prostitution Laws, providing the crimes of sex trafficking, labor trafficking, aggravated sex trafficking, and child sex trafficking, amending sections and repealing sections. Mr. Chair.
What is your pleasure, Representative Etchart?
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 112, that it recommend the same do pass.
Representative Etchart.
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, House Bill 112 adopts the promotion of prostitution statute into human trafficking section and reorganizes the offenses into four easy-to-understand categories. These include sex trafficking, aggravated sex trafficking, child sex trafficking, and labor trafficking. This clarifies the crime and makes the language easier to understand for prosecutors, for law enforcement, for victims, and for potential jurors. This gives clear prosecutorial language. Let us collectively send the message, not in our state. Mr. Chair, I do vote green. Thank you.
Is there a discussion? There being no further discussion, does the sponsor wish to close? Sponsor closes. The question now arises on the motion of Representative Etchert that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 112, it recommend the same do pass. Those in favor of the motion will vote aye. Those opposed, no. I don't even know what that means. Are there any absentee votes?
None, Mr. Chair.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chair, 100 representatives have voted aye, 0 have voted no.
House bill has passed the second reading. Members of the committee, you have before you under consideration House Bill 150. The clerk will read the title of the bill.
Mr. Chair, House Bill number 150, introduced by Abbott, a bill for an act entitled Revising Legislative Constituent Service Allowance Laws, providing for enforcement by the Ethics Committees during and between sessions, revising the name of the program, revising method by which legislators receive allowance, specifying activities for which the allowance is authorized and prohibited, amending sections, and providing an immediate effective date. Mr. Chair.
Pleasure, pleasure, Minority Leader Abbott.
Mr. Chair, I move when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 150 that it recommend the same do pass.
Minority Leader Abbott.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, this is a bill that I'm bringing on behalf of the Legislative Council, and what it does is gives us a little bit more flexibility in how we receive our $3,000 allowance for constituent services. Right now, we receive it in one lump sum, and it's taxed as compensation, and we heard a lot of feedback that some members would rather do a reimbursement where the money isn't taxed. So if you're buying a computer because you need to be communicating with constituents, or you're paying for postage for a letter, you would just turn in a receipt and get reimbursed. So instead of shifting it for everyone, we just decided to give that flexibility, and then you'll see there are some prohibited uses, and we do give the authority to the Ethics Committee to enforce any violations, both in session and in the interim. And that's what it does. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Is there a discussion? There being no further discussion, does the sponsor wish to close? The sponsor closes. The question now arises on the motion of Minority Leader Abbott that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 150, it recommend the same do pass. Those in favor of the motion, vote aye. Those opposed, vote no. Are there absentee votes?
None, Mr. Chair.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, okay, I messed up. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chair, 100 representatives have voted aye, 0 have voted no.
House Bill 150 has passed second reading. Members of the committee, you have before you under your consideration House Bill 161. The clerk will read the title of the bill.
Mr. Chair, House Bill number 161, introduced by Knave, a bill for an act entitled An Act Generally Revising Computer Crime Laws, providing definitions, revising the offense of unlawful use of a computer, providing exceptions, and amending sections. Mr. Chair.
What is your pleasure, Representative Knave?
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 161, that it recommend the same do pass.
Representative Knave.
Mr. Chair, members of the body, this bill comes to us from the Department of Justice and is just a cleanup bill, adding definitions to update the definitions of devices involved in computer security crime. The first time these laws were updated was in the last time these laws were updated was in 1981. In 1981, I took my first technical job, and there was no such thing as a desktop computer. Computers were great big things the size of refrigerators and washing machines, and they lived in a special room with a special environment, and my job was to go in at night and make backups on tape reels that were this big. And that took hours. So a lot has happened since then. So in order to make it easier for law enforcement and the justice system, we need to update our definitions to make sure that we take care of current technology. The bill adds definitions of all the things that we have now, like desktop computers, iPads, tablets, cell phones, any other devices that we need, that we use to get onto the internet and server farms and all of those kinds of things, in order to enable law enforcement to better enforce what they need to do. Cybercrime tends to consist of either tampering or stealing both the data or your credentials that you have on your system. Now, what the bill does not do, it does not keep an employer from blocking access to a machine from an employee who has been separated or has left, anything like that. It does not preclude blocking access to software if you have something like a software subscription that you haven't paid for, then the vendor is all right in blocking access to that. And finally, it does not forbid the owner of a particular piece of hardware, like a cell phone, from doing his own modifications. So other than that, this is just an update bill for DOJ, and I do recommend a do pass.
Is there a discussion? There being no further discussion, does the sponsor wish to close? Oh, sorry. Representative Cordham.
Mr. Chair, would the sponsor yield for a question?
Do you yield?
Yes, I do.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Sponsor. Page 4, line 11 starts, a person is not in violation of this section if the person encrypts or modifies another person's computer or electronic device. And then on line 14, for the purposes of responding to a non-payment. I'm a bit concerned that would allow software as a service providers like some tractor companies or car companies to turn off your car or tractor if you were behind on your payments. Is that possible under this bill?
No, it is not. It's not a possibility in this. That's just not something that's covered. Because you own that equipment. And it does not cover anything that you own you can modify. And you're protected.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Is there further discussion? There being no further discussion, the sponsor wish to close? Sponsor closes. The question now arises on the motion of Representative Knave that when the committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 161, it recommend the same do pass. Those in favor of the motion will vote aye. Those opposed, no. Are there absentee votes?
None, Mr. Chair.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chair, 81 representatives have voted aye, 19 have voted no.
House Bill number 161 has passed second reading. The chair recognizes Majority Leader Vinton.
Mr. Chair, I move that the committee rise and report.
You've heard the motion of Majority Leader Vinton. All those in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. So ordered.
Mr. Speaker, we, your Committee of the Whole, having had under consideration business on second reading, recommend as follows.
You've heard the motion to adopt the committee report. All those in favor vote aye, and those opposed vote no. Clerk, will record the vote.
Mr. Speaker, 96 representatives have voted aye. 3 have voted no.
The committee report has been adopted. Thank you, Representative Green.
Order business number 8, third reading of bills.
Mr. Speaker, House Bill 60, introduced by Logie, a bill for an act entitled, an act providing for the annual fee on electric vehicles registered in the state.
House Bill 60 has been read three several times. The question is, shall the bill be passed by the House? All those in favor vote aye, and those opposed vote no. Has every member voted? Does every member change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Speaker, 92 representatives have voted aye, 8 have voted no.
House Bill 60 is passed the House.
Mr. Speaker, House Bill 62, introduced by Mercer, a bill for an act entitled, Generally Revised Laws Related to Bail Bonds.
House Bill 62, I've been read three several times. The question is, shall the bill be passed by the House? All those in favor vote aye, and those opposed vote no. Has every member voted? Does a member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk record the vote.
Mr. Speaker, 83 representatives have voted aye, 17 have voted no.
House Bill 62 has passed the House.
Mr. Speaker, House Bill 47, introduced by Dooling, a bill for an act entitled, Generally Revise the Montana Information Technology Act.
House Bill 47 has been read three several times. The question is, shall the bill be passed by the House? All those in favor vote aye, and those opposed vote no. Has every member voted? Does a member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Speaker, 73 representatives have voted aye, 27 have voted no.
House Bill 47 has passed the House.
Mr. Speaker, House Bill 96, introduced by Buttry, a bill for an act entitled, Include Agency Liquor Stores in the Department of Revenue's Premises Review.
House Bill 96, having been read three several times, the question is, shall the bill be passed by the House? All those in favor vote aye, and those opposed vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk record the vote.
Mr. Speaker, 95 representatives have voted aye, 5 have voted no.
House Bill 96 has passed the House.
Mr. Speaker, House Bill 117, introduced by Bertolio, a bill for an act entitled, Generally Revise Working Retiree Laws Under TRS.
House Bill 117 has been read three several times. The question is, shall the bill be passed by the House? All those in favor vote aye, and those opposed vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Speaker, 85 representatives have voted aye, 15 have voted no.
House Bill 117 has passed the House.
Mr. Speaker, House Bill 125, introduced by Anderson, a bill for an act entitled to revise public hearing process for Montana's Facility Finance Authority.
House Bill 125 has been read three several times. The question is, shall the bill be passed by the House? All those in favor vote aye, and those opposed vote no. Has every member voted? Does a member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Speaker, 100 members have voted aye, 0 have voted no.
House Bill 125 has passed the House.
Mr. Speaker, House Bill 131, introduced by C. Hinkle, a bill for an act entitled, Remove 24-Hour Wait Requirement for Wolf License.
House Bill 131 has been read three several times. The question is, shall the bill be passed by the House? All those in favor vote aye, and those opposed vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Speaker, 79 representatives have voted aye, 21 have voted no.
House Bill 131 has passed the House.
Mr. Speaker, House Bill 140, introduced by Jones, a bill for an act entitled Establishing Modernization and Risk Analysis Committee.
House Bill 140 has been read three several times. The question is, shall the bill be passed by the House? All those in favor vote aye, and those opposed vote no. Has every member voted? Does a member wish to change his or her vote? Representative Mercer. If not, the clerk record the vote.
Mr. Speaker, 96 representatives have voted aye, 4 have voted no.
House Bill 140 has passed the House.
Mr. Speaker, House Bill 141, introduced by Jones, a bill for an act entitled Revised Blackfeet Mitigation Fund Laws.
House Bill 141 having been read three several times. The question is, shall the bill be passed by the House? All those in favor vote aye, and those opposed vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Representative Schillinger. If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Speaker, 93 representatives have voted aye, 7 have voted no.
House Bill 141 has passed the House.
Mr. Speaker, House Bill 172, introduced by Beattie, a bill for an act entitled Revised Laws Related to Post-Election Audits.
House Bill 172 has been read three several times. The question is, shall the bill be passed by the House? All those in favor vote aye, and those opposed vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Speaker, 81 representatives have voted aye, 19 have voted no.
House Bill 172 has passed the House.
Mr. Speaker, House Bill 176, introduced by Galloway, a bill for an act entitled Revising County Utility Permitting Laws.
House Bill 176 having been read three several times. The question is, shall the bill be passed by the House? All those in favor vote aye, and those opposed vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Representative Schillinger. If not, the clerk record the vote.
Mr. Speaker, 90 representatives have voted aye, 10 have voted no.
House Bill 176 has passed the House.
Mr. Speaker, House Bill 209, introduced by Marshall, a bill for an act entitled Revised Live Poker Prize Limit.
House Bill 209 has been read three several times. The question is, shall the bill be passed by the House? All those in favor vote aye, and those opposed vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Speaker, 48 representatives have voted aye, 52 have voted no.
House Bill 209 has failed to pass the House.
That is all, Mr. Speaker.
Order business number 9, motions. Representative Sullivan.
Mr. Speaker.
Keep our conversations down.
Thank you. Mr. Speaker, I move to reconsider our action on House Bill 165 and place it on second reading Friday, February 3rd, 25th, legislative day.
Motion to reconsider. Two proponents and two opponents. You can open.
Yes, thank you, Mr.
Keep it to the motion.
Yes, Mr. Speaker. I would like to say the original intent of the bill was very good, and there was a confusion on the meaning behind the bill and what we learned in committee, and I think learning more information would be very beneficial to keep something valuable going forward, Mr. Chair, or Mr. Speaker.
Representative Buttrey.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, members, I'd ask you to support this motion to reconsider. Yesterday when we had the bill hearing, there was no fiscal note that was presented with the bill, and there actually is a fiscal note that has a significantly positive impact to the general fund. I think, as everyone knows, when we see these bills and we hear them on the floor, we need to know the fiscal impact. So we need to have a hearing where the fiscal note's present if we're going to do a good job in considering the bill. I'd ask you to support the motion.
The motion is to reconsider actions on House Bill 165. All those in favor vote aye. Those opposed vote no. Clerk, record the vote.
Mr. Speaker, 71 representatives have voted aye, 29 have voted no.
The motion has passed. Further motions. Majority Leader Vinton.
Mr. Speaker, I move to re-refer House Bill 37, Generally Revised Child Abuse and Neglect Laws, to the Appropriations Committee. Mr. Speaker.
Without objection, so ordered. See no more motions. Without objection, we'll revert back to order business number 2, reports of standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, we're Committee on Appropriations recommend that House Bills 38 and 274 do pass, 91 do pass as amended. Signed, Representative Lou Jones, Chair. That is all, Mr. Speaker.
Order business number 10, unfinished business.
Mr. Speaker, I move that the following undersigned names be added as sponsors to House Bill 6. Signed, Representative Hopkins, sponsor. Mr. Speaker, I move that the following undersigned names be added as sponsors to House Bill 7, signed Representative Hopkins, sponsor. Mr. Speaker, I move that the following undersigned names be added as sponsors to House Bill 8, signed Representative Hopkins, sponsor. Mr. Speaker, I move that the following undersigned names be added as sponsors to House Bill 313, signed Representative Etchart, sponsor. Mr. Speaker, I move that the following undersigned names be added as sponsors to House Bill 320, signed Representative Durham, sponsor. That is all, Mr. Speaker.
Order business number 11, special orders of the day.
None, Mr. Speaker.
Order business number 12, announcement of committee meetings. Representative Regeer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Judiciary tomorrow morning, 8 a.m.
Representative Gunderson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Natural Resources, one bill, 3 p.m., room 172 today.
Representative Hopkins.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Section F in joint meeting with Section E tomorrow in room 472 at 8:30 a.m. going over the Montana University System projects in House Bill 5.
Representative Moore.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Section A appropriations tomorrow morning, 8 a.m., room 350, and welcoming our newest member.
Representative Dooling.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House State Administration, tomorrow morning, 8 a.m., we are doing executive action. And, Mr. Speaker, I request to be off the record and out of the journal for the purpose of an announcement.
So ordered.
Montana Contractors has asked me to remind everybody that their reception is tonight. It's at 5 o'clock before the State of the State. They'd like you to stop by just to say hi, and that's at the Great Northern.
Representative Cashmire.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. No House Ag tomorrow. No House Ag tomorrow.
Representative Jones.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House appropriations in at 3 p.m., five bills. And, Mr. Speaker, we did have some of the re-referral system glitch a little bit again. So I just want to make it clear that I will allow Zoom testimony to sign up late if that is the case.
Representative Fielder.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Taxation will meet tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock, room 152. We have one bill in executive action.
Representative Brewster.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Local Government tomorrow, 3 p.m., three bills and some executive action.
Representative Logie.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Transportation this afternoon, 3 o'clock, 1 EA.
Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Education, 3 o'clock today, room 137, executive action.
Representative Beatty.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Section E meets tomorrow, 8:30, room 472, joint meeting with Section F.
Representative Mercer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Section D tomorrow morning, 8 a.m., 317A, day 4 of the DOC budget.
Representative Zolnikoff.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Energy today, 3 p.m., room 472. We have a presentation and one bill.
Representative Buttrey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Business and Labor tomorrow morning, 8:30, room 172, four bills.
Representative Keenan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Section B, subcommittee, 8 a.m., room 102.
Representative Carlson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Human Services meets today at 3 o'clock, two bills.
Representative Schillinger.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We are going to meet Section C, appropriations, tomorrow morning, 9 o'clock, to hear from the Department of Natural Resources and Conservation regarding their Good Neighbor Authority program that revitalizes our forests and on the fire program.
Representative Sprunger, for what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I request to be off the record and out of the journal for the purpose of an introduction.
So ordered.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In the back of the room, we have our constituent of mine and our superintendent of School District 5, Micah Hill, here visiting in the gallery.
Welcome to the House.
Thank you, Mr.
Representative Tuss, for what purpose do you rise?
Mr. Speaker, may we remain off the record and out of the journal?
For what purpose?
For purpose of an introduction, Mr. Speaker.
So ordered.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In the gallery, we have a constituent, a friend, and a trustee of the Havre Public School System, Mr. Curtis Smeeby.
Welcome to the House. Representative Jedediah Hinkle, for what purpose do you ask?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. If I could be off the record and out of the journal for purposes of a request.
So ordered.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members of the body, maybe I'm getting older and starting to lose my hearing, but I am sometimes during second reading having a tough time hearing the speakers with the mics. And I notice that sometimes the mics are down here or right in here. If you could just be cognizant that some of us are having a hard time hearing the debate, if you could keep the mics close to your mouth. So, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Thane, for what purpose do you rise?
Mr. Speaker, I request to be off the record and out of the journal for the purposes of an introduction.
So ordered.
In the gallery today, we have the superintendent of Bonner Schools, Jim Howard, and he's accompanied by a principal of Bonner School, Shelley Andrus.
Welcome to the House. Speaker Pro Tem Knutson.
Mr. Speaker, I request to be off the record and out of the journal for a purpose of an announcement, please.
So ordered.
Members, as a reminder, the governor's State of the State address is tonight.
Staff is ready to distribute boxes and help you clear desks before you leave this afternoon. Please make sure your name is on your box. Your belongings will be back on your desk after the address tonight. The agendas for tomorrow's floor session will be in the anteroom this afternoon, or look on the website agenda. Packets will be on the chamber desks early in the morning. And finally, pizza will be served in the rotunda at 5 p.m. Please be ready to be back in the chamber at 6:30 p.m. for the governor's address. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Majority Leader Vinton.
Mr. Speaker, I move that the House recess until 6:45 p.m. and reconvene at that time for the State of the State address.
For the motion, Majority Leader Vinton, all those in favor say aye. All the opposed, no. The ayes have it. We will reconvene at 6:45 p.m. tonight. The House is adjourned.